Lord, help us to commence this morning with hymn 113. Who but the soul that's led to know how just and holy is the law will to the cross of Christ repair and seek salvation only there. 113. May the Lord now help us to read two portions from his word. Firstly, the first book of Kings, chapter 17, and then a few verses from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. The first book of Kings, chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me, to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, and carried him up into a loft, where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn, by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child, and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is true." Now the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. We'll commence to read at verse 35. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 35. "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Most holy and eternal Lord God, we do need thee now to draw near and to grant to us a breath of real prayer. For thou hast said men ought always to pray and not to faint. And O Lord, so often we seem to be fainting when we should be at the throne of thy grace seeking thee. Oh, we pray for the gracious help and aid of thy Holy Spirit as we gather to worship thee. We pray that we may be in the Spirit on the Lord's day, that thy Spirit, dear Lord, may rule our spirit, that we may have the mind and the Spirit of Christ. Oh, do empty us of this world and the things of time, that our hearts and our affections may be set on things above. Oh, we pray for grace to humble ourselves before thee. We may ever be as nothing, and a precious Jesus the one thing that is needful. Oh, may Christ be exalted in our hearts, Lord, in our lives, in the preaching of the word and in each part of our worship. We pray that we may be given that true broken heart and contrite spirit, a heart to tremble at thy word, a heart to confess our many, many sins. Oh, that we may have that God-given repentance granted to us. We may ever be as real repenting sinners at thy dear feet. We pray that thou wilt grant to us, Lord, that fervent, earnest prayer, that we may truly plead and wrestle with thee for mercy and for the precious application of thy precious blood. O Lord, may we have the sweet assurance from heaven that thou didst suffer, bleed and die for us, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We pray to have that real religion thou dost give to thy dear people. We may be amongst those that are truly born of God. We may be found in that narrow way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. May we be amongst that favoured few, Lord. We'd pray with the hymn writer, with them numbered may I be, now and through eternity. Lord, do prepare us for thy will, and prepare us for life, Lord, but oh, how we need thee to prepare us for death. Oh, do come, dear Lord, and sweetly assure us that we are thine and thou art ours. Who come this day, dear Lord, and meet the cases of thy dear people. Now it's those that have gathered, Lord. Now those that long to hear thy voice. Those that long for thee to seal pardon and peace to their souls. Those who need heavenly direction. Those that need thee to confirm thy precious word and thy promises, and that need thee to confirm their soul and their exercises. O Lord, the power is thine. Do ever keep us from limiting thy power. And oh, we pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt go before us in the untrodden steps of life's journey. We thank thee for thy many mercies through this busy week we've had, Lord, and through the sacred waters of baptism. Do bless those that have ventured, Lord. We pray that there may be yet the sound of abundance of rain. There may be others constrained, Lord, to say with the psalmist, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Oh, do remove all the hindrances, dear Lord. There may be those, like the eunuch, to say, hinder, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? We pray that there may be yet a gracious building up in the churches, if it be thy will. Many may be born again. There may be those thou art working in, graciously established in the truth, made steadfast and unmovable in the vital things of God. Lord, we pray for those that are in trouble, that thou would help them and deliver them if it's thy will. Whatever be that trouble, may it be in their souls or in their pathways, Lord. And oh, do remember those that are full of fear. Who grant, we pray, a true fear not from thyself and from thy sacred lips. Who bless the dear babes and the dear children. May they in their early days be taught of thee and brought to hunger and thirst for the truth as it is in Jesus. Who hear the prayers of the dear parents for their offspring, and may it please thee to raise up a seed to serve thee, a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. And O Lord, do bless the Sabbath school and those that lovingly teach in it. May thy word have free course and be glorified. Remember those in affliction's pathway. We pray for healing and restoring mercies if it would please thee. And oh, do send that healing to our dear one and others laid aside, Lord. We pray thou wilt sanctify all these afflictions. And that out of them there may be much teaching and profit for our souls. Dear Lord, do comfort those that are bereaved. Oh, do sanctify these losses, Lord. The death of one may be the birth of many. And we do pray, dear Lord, for those that have been joined in holy matrimony in this past week, to especially bless their union together. May thy smile rest upon them, and may thy presence be their stay. Dear Lord, do help us to pray for thy blessing upon the causes up and down this land, especially remember thy dear people here. We pray that thou would add to them both in the church and to in the congregation if it be thy holy will. And may it be so in our own flock too, Lord. There may be a gracious building up. Help thy dear servant with our own flock today. May he come in the fullness of the gospel and thy word through him. Be made life and power to thy people. Bless all the assemblies of thy dear children. And any that may find excuse not to come, Lord, we pray that thou wilt visit them. And that thou wilt whisper those words. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Lord, we pray for thee to appear in this dark and solemn day. And to help the dear friends in wearing their face masks today. Lord, thou hast brought these things upon us and may we lay them to heart. Is there not a cause? And, O Lord, when we think of the solemn state of the nation and we are each part of it, oh, we pray, Lord, thou wilt bring our leaders and rulers to acknowledge that thou art on the throne and that it is all because of the sins of this nation and the nations of the earth. And thou hast said by terrible things in righteousness, wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation? Thou help us to tremble before thee and confess our many sins personally, our national sins, and beg for thy appearing, and to open the blind eyes of our leaders and rulers. And Lord, we pray that we may as a nation yet be turned from serving Satan to serve thee, the only true God. And oh, we would seek, Lord, for those that carry offspring, thou wilt grant safe deliverance at the appointed time, and do grant that needed help and strength, and safe deliverance at the appointed time. And may the dear babes be born with all their faculties, and above everything be a vessel of divine mercy. Remember all we would and should pray for, and especially those that are persecuted and oppressed. And do help us to praise thee for all that thou hast done, Lord, and all thy goodness to us, unworthy as we are. We would seek for a heart to love and praise thee more. And though we're unable to sing thy hymns to thy praise, may there be that real tune in our heart and singing to the praise and glory of thy gracious name. And may we know the realities in those sacred hymns. Who help us now as we turn to thy holy word. Pray for voice to speak, a hearing ear to thy dear people. And oh, may our precious Jesus be exalted, sinners be laid in the dust. May the dear friends lose sight of this poor man, and see no man save Jesus only. We ask these poor breathings, seeking that thou wilt bless the deacons and help them, and give them all needed wisdom. Who help us now to fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim. We ask it, seeking the pardon of all our many, many sins, in that precious name that prevails above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
Now continue with hymn 669. 669. Poor sinners, sunk in sin's tremendous cell, tormented with the fiery darts of hell, on Jesus call, though wretched be your case. He came the lost to seek and save by grace. 669.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, excuse me, I direct you to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 5, and the last part of verse 7. The first epistle, General Peter, chapter 5, and the last part of the 7th verse. For he careth for you. The first epistle, Peter, chapter 5, and the last part of verse 7. For he careth for you. The Lord seems to have laid these few words upon one's heart to bring before you this morning. I trust it is the message of heaven to some poor seeking soul. Peter wrote this epistle to the tribes, we are told, that were scattered abroad. And he lists, doesn't he, in that first chapter, all those that were in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. But they were the elect children of God. So the Lord's care for them was great as his elect children. And I want us help firstly to bring before you this solemn thought that really it's a blessed thought too, that the whole Trinity is involved in the care of his dear people. Father, Son, and blessed Holy Spirit. And let me just hint concerning those sacred blessed three a little of the care that he manifests to his dear children. Think firstly of the care of the Father, that in eternity past he should choose and elect a people to seek him and to serve him. They were chosen in Christ, in his beloved Son, before the foundation of the world. His care was continually and will be to the end of time toward them. Secondly, his loving care. You know, as it is wonderfully manifested, like with a dear mother with her little babe, she continually manifests that care to it because she loves it. It's part of her. And really, these dear souls that were elected by God the Father and chosen in Christ, he has an eternal love toward them. That's why he cares so for them. And may we be favoured in this dark and solemn day to know a little of that loving care which he has toward every one of his dear children. He said to dear Jeremiah, didn't he, the Lord spoke those beautiful words. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. May the Lord favour us midst all the sorrows of this present day and time we are walking in, to know that loving care toward us, conveyed from heaven. But then we read, don't we, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And they were given to the dear Redeemer to be redeemed, and only he could redeem them. You think how solemnly Adam fell in the Garden of Eden and the whole race of mankind has fallen since. We're born in sin, shapen in iniquity, and in sin did our mothers conceive us. But blessed be God, he gave his beloved Son. And how did he give him? In love, you see. Because he cared for his bride, his church. And you think of the care that was so manifested in the dear Saviour being born of a woman, born under the law, and came to satisfy that holy law and to redeem his dear bride by laying down his precious life. If you want a glimpse of the care of the dear Redeemer, you go to Calvary. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends, because he's so cared for. My great concern is this morning that the Lord would sweetly assure each of our souls that he has cared for us in suffering, bleeding, dying. And I'll tell you what the effect will be, if I know anything of it in any way. It'll melt the hardest marbles of your heart. Oh, it will. And that's what we long for more and more, isn't it? That we may be like dear Job. You think of what he said for God. Maketh my heart soft. There's no sweeter, softener place to come than to have a glimpse by faith of the dear Redeemer, so caring for his dear bride that he lays down that precious life for her, that she may have eternal life and eternal bliss of heaven at last. And then think of the great care that he so manifested in shedding that precious blood. There's the sinner's hope, you see. And maybe one this morning feeling so much the sin and guilt within your poor heart and the vileness there, And you say, if ever my poor soul be saved. But can you say this? 'Tis Christ must be the way. And it's nothing that you can do or have done. It's all what he has done. And you see, he will bring you to the blessed place like that dear babe in the arms of its mother. It cannot help itself. It's helpless, dependent upon her. And that's where he'll bring you, sinner. The only way you can ever be saved is through that precious blood and the wonders of his death and resurrection. Well, could the hymn writer say, to know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. Do you long for that this morning? And can you say it? For he careth for you. The poor sinner that feels may even be cast out by Satan. You might say, what, feeling like that? You may have heard me speak of it before, but you see, in the days of dear Whitfield, Mr. Whitfield, when he preached, and if ever there was a Christ-exhorting ministry, it was his. And two, he knew what it was to preach the sinner right into the dust. And out of that dust they had to cry unto him for mercy, the Lord for mercy. And two women that had lived in sin for years, outward sin continually, were rejected by their village and by all those around them because of their terrible life. And they felt to be rejected of all men and even by the devil. And they went in to hear Mr. Whitfield preach. And during his sermon he said, sinner, Christ came into this world to save the devil's castaway. And you know, that went right into the heart. That's exactly where those two women were feeling to. The Lord had so convinced them of their sin and brought them in guilty as poor, wretched, hell-deserving sinners. He says Christ came to save the devil's castaways. And what was the effect of it? The Lord wonderfully led them to the wombs of the dear Redeemer. What he endured for them, suffering in their room, place and stead. And the Lord wonderfully blessed them, you know, with a glorious view by faith of their dear Redeemer. In all his agonies and blood. And they were raised up to be two of the faithful members of Mr. Whitfield's church. You see, his care was toward them. And my great concern is this morning, as the Lord has given me this word, that you and I may know what it is to feel his care. Like the arms of the dear mother around her babe. That babe, it can't say anything. It can cry, it is true. But when it feels those arms round her, the dear babes, feels the love, feels the care, and it has a wonderful effect on it, doesn't it, naturally? Think about it far greater so spiritually. What does the hymn writer say in that beautiful hymn? Really, it dropped in very sweetly to confirm the text to me, really. Where the dear poet, can a woman's tender care cease to ward the child she bear? Yes, she may forgetful be, yet I will remember thee. For he careth for you. But then, much could be said on that line of thought, but let me go to the blessed third person of the Trinity. You think of the great need, the old preachers used to say, that we might have a Holy Ghost religion. And that is vital. Because you see, because the Lord cares for his dear children, he sends the Holy Ghost to convince them of their sin. He sends the Holy Ghost to quicken the sinner into life. Why? Because he cares for them, you see. And he sends the blessed Holy Ghost to take of the things of Jesus and reveals them unto a poor needy sinner, so they can see in him, the dear Lord Jesus, a blessed beauty, because the Holy Ghost reveals it to the poor sinner as their Saviour, their Redeemer. But you think too, it's the Holy Ghost that takes the word, whether it's preached or whether it's read or whether the Lord speaks it audibly from heaven, and he applies it to the heart of the child of God. Oh, his care toward his dear bride, his church. And to those of you that may be in sorrow this morning, it's the blessed work of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to convey that comfort down from heaven to your poor soul. I will not leave you, Jesus said, comfortless. I will come to you. And how many times the Lord is pleased in the sorrows of his dear people, like a loving mother when the little babe or little child hurts themselves and they cry. And oh, how those loving arms of mother or father go and pick them up and care for them, you see. Oh, yes. And so the Lord does his dear people. When you're in a low place, it's only he, because he cares for you, can pick you up, poor soul, and lift you up out of it. There may be those things in your heart and pathway this morning that weigh you down sorely, and you cannot lift yourself up. It's like one the hymn writer says, who can lift us up but thou? And when the Lord lifts up the child of God, they're helpless, just like that little babe, just like the little child. He lifts them up, and he'll lift them right out of all what they're in. It may only be for a little season. The Lord's a sovereign. He may lift you right out of it all. You'll never think you're sunk too low if Jesus on you pity show. For he careth. Don't forget that little word, he. The dear Redeemer, the blessed Trinity, cares for his dear people. Oh, he does. But what you want is to feel it, won't you? Just like that little babe. They want to feel the arms of care and love of their mother and closeness to her. And there's none like the mother to that little babe. And there's none like her precious Jesus to a poor, needy sinner. We sing, don't we, in the hymn, none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. For he careth for you. And I must hasten. You may have wondered why we read those two lessons together this morning. Go back to the first, to Elijah. The dear man of God, you look how wonderfully the Lord cared for him. First of all, when the Lord withheld the rain from the earth and everything was dried up, and in that terrible season of drought, look how lovingly the Lord cared for the dear man, didn't he? Provided the brook Cherith to supply him with that water to drink. But what about his food? You know, when the Lord ordains to feed his dear people, whether it's in body or in their souls, he's not bound to means. What did he do? Used birds that, we may say, naturally speaking, were the most remote of birds to use to feed him, because a raven is a very devouring bird. But what did the Lord do? You see, he so cared for Elijah. He sent the ravens, which brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And you look back today and see how the Lord has fed you both. It's a wonderful thing, you know, naturally, to sit down at the table and be, you know, we say the grace, but how often do we really, in reality, know what it is to truly give thanks? The wonderful provision. But think about it spiritually too. What did the wise man say? Feed me with food convenient for me. We need that heavenly food, don't we? What did the Lord say to the children of Israel as they journeyed through the wilderness? Man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And it's very humbling, you know, when the Lord supplies the need, because he cares for his dear people in providence and in grace. Oh, he does. We know many say we don't want a providential religion, but you know, so often providence and grace unite. Oh, they do. We come into places in providence and it stirs us up to really wrestle and plead with the Lord for his appearing. And it may be things that you've looked back in this past week, how he's cared for you in it. You see the care of the Lord in providing for you. I remember in my early days of the ministry, I went to Mount Buers on one occasion. I think it was in October 1966. And I remember one of the old saints telling me how there were those in days past, the chapel, you know, they hadn't hardly any money and hadn't food to eat. And it was this old couple, you know, they were almost, we may say, on the brink of starvation. And they knelt down and prayed that the Lord would send them some food to eat. And they'd hardly got up from their knees and a knock came at the door. And there was a dear lady with a meal for one of them. And the dear man, he said to his wife, he said, "You can have it. The Lord will bring me the next." And within a little while, somebody else came and brought them the meal. And they just wept over it. They could see the care of the Lord, you see. He'd put it in the hearts of those to bring it, just as he put it in the heart of these ravens. You know, I often look back, and oh, you want to speak of it personally, but, you know, and the wonderful provision the Lord gave me in my work when I was pastor at Ashwell, you know, and the commencing days were hard, and providentially in buying the house and so on. But, you know, I often look back and I think of the company, you know, they told me, though a worldly company, they said to me, "You can have whatever time you offer, what need offer the ministry. Just tell us when you've got to go, if it's to a funeral or wherever." When we went to Australia for the 6 weeks in 1993, they paid me all the time I was there. They were the ravens to feed us. With Elijah, the Lord's care was toward him. Oh, it was. But then what about when the brook dried up? What was he going to do? Look how wonderfully the Lord was to appear for the dear man. "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there." And then listen. "Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." You may say, well, a dear widow woman, yes. She was in the Lord's hand. She was just the instrument in the Lord's hand. You see, everything is in his hand. And when he cares for his dear people, he can use whatever means he pleases. And here is he used the ravens. So he was to use this dear widow woman. And you think how wonderfully the Lord provided for her and for our loved ones, and especially for the servant of God. And the promise, you say, was to be fulfilled. And the bow of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake to Elijah. And can you not look back, and may you young ones sweetly experience it through your life? You see, there were times where she had to scrape the bottom of the barrel, but it didn't run dry. Oh no. He didn't say it, but the Lord didn't say it always be full, did it? There would be times when it would be full. But there would be times where they had to scrape the bottom. But there was sufficient for them. The promise still stood, and so it does today. The bow of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord. And you look how wonderfully the Lord provided for him. Why? Because he cared for him. Oh yes. And think about in your soul, whatever you may come into or be in even this morning, poor soul, he cares for you. And just step back to something far deeper. With all your sin that plagues you, and all the unbelief that creeps in, and the doubts that arise, and you look at your lot and you say, Lord, but it's such a hard path. But he knows. Our life's minutest circumstances subject to his eye. And because he cares for his dear people, in their pathway, in their souls, in all that concerns them, he will supply all their need. Think of that beautiful promise the Lord spoke through the Apostle Paul to the Philippians. But my God, and the Apostle could truly write that because he'd walked it out. He proved it, shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. For he careth for you. He careth for you. You may say, well, unworthy me, yes. You look how the Lord cared for dear Joseph when he was in the pit. You look how he cared for him in Potiphar's house. You look how he cared for him in the prison. The Lord's care was toward him. And look how the Lord cared for him in Pharaoh's palace. It didn't matter what place the Lord brought him into. He wasn't there by chance. The Lord's care was toward the dear man. Oh, it was. Even when his brothers hated him and rebelled against him. It was hard to walk out to the flesh, but you see, it was all for the honour and glory of God, and it was all for the teaching and profit of the soul of dear Joseph. Oh, it was. And he could look at it all, how the Lord had cared for him. And he could praise the Lord's blessed name, couldn't he? For he careth for you. You may wonder why, just briefly, we read that second portion. It seemed to come to me so powerfully when thinking on this text, as I got back from the baptising yesterday. It seemed very sweet to me. There were the dear disciples, you know, in that ship. And what happened? There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, and it was so that it was now full. But you look, in all what they were in, the Saviour was with them in it. May that be a comfort to you, poor soul, this morning. See how he cared for them. He didn't trouble him, the wind, or the waves, or the sea. It was all in his hand. He troubled the dear disciples, but what came to me was, in this great storm, he was in the hinder part of the ship. This was Jesus asleep on a pillow. I think it's the only time, I stand to be corrected in it, but it's the only time I recall where we read of the dear Saviour with his head upon a pillow. You know, you lay your head and I on the pillow at night. And there have been many times where I've looked back through the day and I've had to plead and beg for mercy for my failings and my backslidings through the day. But I hope there have been a few times where I've laid my head on the pillow and I bless the Lord for that pillow to lay my head on and been able to praise him for his goodness and his great mercy. You see, with the Saviour, the foxes, he said, have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. But on this occasion, he had a pillow. And what gave him that pillow? Love, you see. There's no doubt the love in those dear disciples in that ship gave him the pillow. Love to him. But then they awoke him. And this is what seemed to so come to me thinking upon the text. And say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? How many times when you're in trouble, whether it's in affliction, whether it's in distress of soul, whether it's in because the pathway's so difficult, because you're plagued with unbelief or whatever it may be, and sin raging may be in your poor heart, and you say, carest thou not that we perish? Well, his care was toward them, wasn't it? He so manifested that care. And what do we read? He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. Oh, may the Lord whisper to some poor tossed sinner this morning, peace, be still. And why did they got to be still? He was to steal their hearts from all their unbelief, all the tossing there was in them. And there may be those things in your heart this morning you tossed about like a cork in the ocean. Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, and may he say it to some poor sinner this morning, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him? You see, he was in control of it all. He cared for them. My great concern is this morning, you may say, why didn't you look at the first part? Well, it was these five words seemed to so rest in my heart. He does say, cast in all your care upon him, wipe, for he careth for you. And there may be those of you before I leave it that have burdens, have cares this morning as you come up to the house of God. Cast them all upon him. That is to say, leave them all with him in his hand. Why? Because those loving hands still care for you. Oh yes, just as he did those dear disciples. They were fearing for their lives. But his care was toward them. That's why you see, stilled their hearts, stilled the sea, because he cared for them. And he that has cared for you thus far through your life, poor soul, will care for you right through to the end, and then land you safe above.
The collections received during the past week amounted to £680, for which we are truly thankful. God willing, there will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by a friend, Mr. Field, followed by a short church meeting. And Mr. Timothy Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Timothy Barker next Lord's Day. Now let us close with hymn 1024. 1024. Oh, for a heart to praise the Lord, a heart from sin set free, a heart that's sprinkled with the blood so freely shed for me. Hymn 1024.
Do come over the poverty of our poor, feeble attempts. Do bless thy own word. May we know more and more of thy loving care toward us. We are unworthy, Lord, of it all and of thy mercy. And we would say with Jacob of old, I am not worthy of the least of the Lord's mercy or of his truth. Help us to give thee all the glory, all the praise. Be with us now, come up with us again this evening if it would please thee. And may the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion of the blessed Holy Spirit, the divine comforter, rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.